I think in the history of our nation, when we have needed more than anything to cry out to God, to seek Him with all of our hearts, to ask for forgiveness, than right now. The truth is, our country is on the edge of a moral and economic collapse. Let's just be honest and let's be real and let's just paint it as it really is. When you've got a USA Today this past week, columnist Cal Thomas, I really appreciate this man's boldness. He says, gay marriage is a sign of the end times. I think it is. I think it is. And I think it's time for us to wake up from the complacency I think we keep putting aside and think everything's going to get better and everything. It is time, family, to wake up and realize we have to do something. We've got to do something. Our children are not going to see their futures if we don't, if we sit back and are complacent about it. So what do you do when you're out of options? You know, when you are at the gate, you're at the wall, there's nothing, nowhere else to go. And I think our country is in that situation right now. We have nowhere else to go but to God. King Jehoshaphat was a very godly king of one of the kings of Judah, earlier kings of Judah. And if you look here, Judah's down here. There's two tribes here. This is the kingdom of Israel. 10 tribes there. You have the kingdom of Ammon and Moab, and Edomites are below that. Enemies of Judah and Israel. They were a constant thorn in their side. Judah's very weak. They don't have a big military. They have two tribes. It's very small. So they're very vulnerable to attack. After this, in 2 Chronicles 20, we read, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. From the other side of the Dead Sea, it is already in Hazeron Tamar, that is, in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved, I love this, to inquire of the Lord and to proclaim a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek Him. The fact that En Gedi to Jerusalem is about 54 miles tells me, you know, like, say there was a Russian army or whatever army in Nashville right now, and they are headed this way. What would you do? A lot of us would think about taking up arms and fight, and there's a place for that. But I like the fact that the king, the leader of Judah, says, no, we are going to seek the Lord because we are out of options. We need to proclaim a fast. Fasting is a time when we abstain from something. It doesn't necessarily have to be food, but from whatever is distracting us. Fasting is for times when we are mourning for the loss of someone. Maybe we're struggling with a particular sin in our lives. Fasting is a good thing. And it's a time to seek God where you're just focusing on God. And that's exactly what he proclaims to Judah at this point. Maybe there's some, you know, I think about everybody in this room today. Maybe for some of us, our options have run out. Maybe you've recently heard you've got cancer. Maybe you've recently heard you've got a health condition. You know, maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you don't have a job or you're struggling with whatever, and you just feel like there are no other ways out of this situation. What did Jehoshaphat do? I want you to notice he does three things in his prayer. And we'll break them down here. The first thing he does in his prayer is he remembers that God, Yahweh, is in control. Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule. You are in control over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. I think where he begins is where we need to begin when we're talking about running out of options. When we see there's no way out, we need to remember that God is sovereign. God is in control. He is taking history somewhere. That's where Jehoshaphat's confidence was in the fact that God is sovereign. He is in control of history. He is able. I don't think we know the God of Jehoshaphat. I think our God is too small. We've created a God in our own image, a God that wants us to be happy, a God that just wants to kind of do what we want him to do. I don't know if a lot of us grasp the power of God, the sovereignty of God, the maker and ruler of this universe, who has seen nation after nation come to power and lose its power. Nations rise and fall, kingdoms come and go, kings and queens come and go. I think our God, the God that we have created, is a God that we want to manage. That we'll come and worship on Sunday, but then when, you know, but let me be able to manage him. I'm not going to give him all of my life. I want to manage him. He's a God who wants me to be happy. That is creating a golden calf. That's a God in your own image. Is the God that you believe in, the Lord, is he the same one in Scripture? Is he the God that created the Sombrero Galaxy 28 million light years from us? When we look into the stars and look to the universe and look to everything that we see around us, we say, what are those universes doing out there? What can they? We haven't discovered all of them yet. They are out there glorifying God. They're telling us that there is a God who is powerful, who loves us, and who is very creative in his power. My question to you today, and my question I think that Jehoshaphat posed for his people was, how big is your God? Because when you're out of options, what matters is what you think about God. It doesn't matter about anything else. Of how you perceive him, how you conceive of him. If he is a God that just wants to make you happy and a God that you can manage, you're going to have problems when life caves in. So Jehoshaphat says, remember, good people, God is in control. Secondly, he reminds them that God is faithful to all of his promises. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Jehoshaphat is reminding his people of the promises that God had already made concerning Ammon and Moab. All right? He's reminding them and reminding them of his faithfulness to them he says, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment, plague, or famine, we will stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name and will cry out to you, and you will hear and you will save us. He's reminding them. God said that. He's going to do it. And I think that is the most important thing as a follower of Christ to remind ourselves in these crazy times that we live in, is that God is faithful. Why is he so trustworthy? It's because when he says he's going to do something, he does it. God is consistent all through Scripture. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So that when you and I have the bad hair day, when you and I have the faith that is weak, you and I have days and times and years, and when we are struggling in our walk with God, God says, even when you're faithless, I'm going to be faithful. Your faithfulness does not depend on me, on me being faithful. I'm already going to be faithful. And I think that is a thing that we need to remind ourselves of, is that God doesn't change. On 9/11, I remember very distinctly where I was. I was in Abilene, Texas, and I was in between. I'd injured my back in Africa and came back for a year of therapy and was doing prison ministry and that year. And I just remember, everybody here in this room remembers where you were on that day. And I remember hearing this guy say, you know, the only thing that we have right now is the fact that God does not change. This day has been a bad day, yes, but it has not changed the faithfulness of God. And I like that. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So what do we do when we're out of options? We remember that God is, yes, he is in control. Yes, he is faithful to his promises. And I think it's important, as Jehoshaphat makes it very clear, is that we're not God. We don't have all the answers. And I think what God looks for is humility when we come to him and say, Lord, I am crying out on behalf of my nation. I'm crying out on behalf of my family. God listens when we humble ourselves. Our God, will you not judge Ammon and Moab? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Often people think when they get to this point, there is no way out. But this is actually when God begins to work powerfully. Humility is the ability to see yourself as you really are, and it's to see God as he truly is. Humility is to say, it's not to see yourself, as C.S. Lewis says, think of yourself less, it's but thinking of yourself less. You're not the center of the world. You're not the center of the universe. It's to see yourself as you really are, a sinner in need of mercy, and a God who is holy and righteous, and cry out to him in humility for mercy. I don't know if you've ever come to that point in your life where you've realized we don't know what to do. My marriage is a mess. I've lost my job. My family's falling apart. I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on the Lord, which tells me I need to stop focusing on my circumstances and focus them on God. And I don't know what you've brought into this room this morning, and I don't know what you're going through. But I think the Lord is trying to tell us today is stop looking at your circumstance and your problem, and I want you to look at me. I want you to focus on me. Because I really think pride is our greatest enemy. I'm proud to be an American, but I'm also a little concerned when we put all of our pride in our military, in our government, in our presidents, getting the right person in office, when we depend on ourselves. We are such an independent nation that it scares me. Maybe God's going to bring us to the point where we have to depend on him, and that is all we can do. So whom are we really depending on? I think it's really cool how the Holy Spirit has already, through Lee, Lee's already shared this text with you this morning. I think God is trying to tell us something today. We put too much trust in man. We put too much trust in people. God says, I want you to take refuge in me. I am the writer of history. So when we humble ourselves, notice what happens. I want you to notice in this prayer what happens here. This is just so awesome. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Isn't that all we need to know? Is that God is with us. Because everything will fail if God is not with us. And I love how he says, just stand firm. Stand before me. Trust me. I am driving. Get out of the way. And when we humble ourselves, God is going to fight our battles. Whatever battle you're facing right now. How is he going to fight our battles? Well, I'll tell you how he's going to fight our battles. It's when we get out of the way. Because I think when we try to, when we have these fears come over us and we get scared, we want to control our world around us. And God says, no, I want you to stand firm and I want you to trust me and I want you to let me fight your battles for you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. I would have loved to have been there and heard that. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. How about that? God made a promise. He came through. But he only came through when the people humbled themselves. Here's the strategy, King Jehoshaphat says. We're going to send singers out in front of the army. It's going to be praise that defeats the enemy. Why does praise defeat the enemy? It's because God inhabits the praises of his people. God is in the midst of that. And when he's in the midst of that, no one can stand up against the Lord. So what do we do when we're out of options? You got to remember that God is driving. He is in control of history. He is sovereign. He is faithful. And remember that you got to humble yourself and you got to realize, man, I ain't God. I ain't got it all together. I'm going to rely and trust on the Lord. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on Him. So the sacred assembly today, there are no agendas, okay? We are gathering together as one people to seek the Lord, to pray, to worship. And just as we did with Convoy of Hope, we all worked together in a spirit of unity. It was an incredible time. Today is just going to be an amazing time of worship and unity. And I know the Lord's going to be very, very pleased. Make sure that you try to get there by 2:30 so you can get a parking spot. The worship will begin at 2:30, but officially we'll start at 3. There'll be music playing beforehand. But make sure you and your family come down to witness this wonderful day, because I believe with all my heart this is going to create a shift in our county, in our cities. And I think God is going to move powerfully. Prayer changes things. Repentance changes things. When people gather together and say, you know, Lord, we have wronged you. God works in the midst of that. I believe God is going to change the course of history of this county today. It is going to be today. And you're going to see some big changes in this county in the next several months as a result. So let's pray together as we close our day out. Father, we commit this day, this sacred assembly, to you, and we're just so excited about all your people coming together in a spirit of unity. We ask that you protect us from the enemy. We ask that you draw us all together in a spirit of repentance and a spirit of love. And we pray, Father, for our county, our city, our state. We desperately, desperately need you. And I know, Lord, we are out of options. There really is no other. The government cannot help us. People cannot help us. So today, Lord, we turn our hearts towards you and our eyes are on you. And we ask that you bring change to our counties. We pray for a spirit of repentance in this area. We pray for the meth and the drugs and the alcoholism and the sexual immorality, all that is going on in this county, Father. We pray that the people will turn to you and help us to be your hands and feet to the people that are hurting in our county. Help us to reach out to them in love. Help us not have a judgmental spirit, and forgive us for the times, Lord, we have been judgmental and critical. Help it, let us be your hands and feet, Lord, to reach into this community. And we pray that you will bring us, all those who are seeking truth, bring everyone, Lord, that is seeking truth to this door at Forest Mill. And thank you in advance for entrusting us with that. We want to bring you glory. We want to see your people saved. We pray this day that you will use us and be glorified in everything that we do. We know, Lord, you're going to do a mighty work. We know in advance that this county is never going to be the same. We believe with all of our hearts that you are going to do a mighty work today. Be glorified in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. We can assist you in any way. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
For us, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Chris, thank you for that message. And as we go to God in prayer, as we dismiss, may we realize just how big and wonderful our God is, and may our eyes always be fixed on Him. Would you please pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all that You've given us. Father, we thank You most of all for the gift of Your Son. You are so big, You are so wonderful, and Your love for us is more than we can imagine, God. Help us just to accept that love, to accept Your grace, to accept Your mercy, and Father, to pass that along to the folks of this world and this community. Today, as we gather at this sacred assembly, God, we will lift our hearts and our minds up to You. May we do that always and continually, God, in our lives, knowing that You are the answer for everything. Forgive us, God, when we fail. Help us and give us strength. Father, we pray that You be with those who are sick in our midst. We pray that You be with us, God, daily. Give us strength that we may, like Jehoshaphat, stand up and face the evils of this world and realize there is nothing too big for You to tackle. We thank You so much, God, for Jesus, and we humbly pray this prayer in His name. Amen.